Arthur Negley, and it is November 14th, 2009, and we're in her home in Syracuse. I guess what we want to start just with some basic questions. What, give us your full name. That's what it is.
Thelma Marie Scheifler Negley.
And when were you born?
November the 29th,
1918. Did that get my question? And what were the names of your parents?
Charlie and Mary Scheifler.
And Mary, what was her maiden name?
Special, S-P-A-C-I-L.
And your grandparents, what were their names?
Well, my dad had one, his mother, that's all I ever knew, and her name was Emma Scheifler. And my mother's parents were Wenzel and Josephine Special.
Wenzel, was that
W-E-N-Z-I-L, I think is the way they spell it.
And what brought your the Wenzels and the Scheiflers to the Belfry area, that were wherever you started out?
Well, they were from Ellingwood. They when my dad and mother were married, they moved to Belfry.
And were they farmers?
Yes.
And so your grandparents were all from up around Ellingwood?
Uh-huh, and they lived back there. But some of their children all moved around Belfry. I don't know why they ever...
What year did they get married? You know?
Hmm.
If not, that's all right.
It's either 1912 or 1914.
And then they moved right when they were, after they were married, they moved down?
Uh-huh.
And then you said you were born where?
In Pawnee County. It's about 3 miles from Edwards County.
Is that the first place that they lived when they came?
Yes,
married?
I think so.
And then you said they moved
to
go
Hopewell.
Hopewell, who was born there then?
Charles and Josephine were born in Hopewell. And then they moved north and west of Belfry, and that's where Polly and Bernice and Ed were born.
Okay, and so how old would you have been when they were living there? How many years between you and maybe...
Well, there's 9 years difference between me and my younger brother.
Wow, and those were all single births?
That's right. We were all just about 2 years apart, but but when you have a birthday in January, now this is my brother that's next to me. He always calls me on his birthday and tells me that he's going to catch up with me because he's 1 year behind me. But a few months after he's that way, I go another year ahead of him.
Okay, so can you describe a little bit the family? You gave showed us this picture a little bit ago, but what was it like growing up in this family of six kids, was it?
Well, it was busy, and we learned to take care of one another. And then when my mother died...
How old were you when she died?
I was about 9 and a half.
And what did she die of?
She had some kind of a... The doctor gave me the name. It was a big, long name, but I never... don't know just what it was.
And Ed was only...
13 months practically to the day that she died.
So you were the big sister.
And yep.
Was there a grandmother or something involved too?
My dad's mother came and lived with us, but she was deaf. She could not hear at all. And she stayed with us. But my dad did the washing we went to school.
And the washing would have been at that time? Did you have...
We had a wash machine, a gasoline motor on it. Uh-huh. So and my grandmother baked the bread, and she made donuts and different things for us. And On my weekends, I would make cookies and things to get us kids to pack our lunches for school. And we got along just real, real well. But my baby brother, Ed, stayed in town with my mother's sister, well, because he was so tiny. And, but he wasn't there too awful long. He wanted back out with the rest of us, so he spent the summer out there with us when we were all there.
And you had a farm?
Yes.
So what did you raise?
Well, my dad had wheat and alfalfa.
And animals?
We had cows and chickens. And
pigs,
yeah. We had to go pick up the corn cobs out of there to burn in our cook stove. So kids nowadays wouldn't like that very well.
Now I think that's the first mention we've had of the cook stove,
the corn cobs burnt, so it made a faster heat.
You did not have electricity?
Oh, no. We had no electricity until, I don't think we never had any until after I was gone from home before they got electricity. We had a kerosene lamps and then a gasoline Coleman lamp.
And for your refrigerator, you used?
We had no refrigerator. We had an ice box. And the guy would come and bring in about a 100-pound of ice and put in there, and it would last about all week.
And you heated with coal?
We had coal, and then Daddy got a kerosene burner was in the dining room.
And what was your house like? How big was it for you?
We had two bedrooms, and my dad and the boys slept in the one bedroom, and my grandmother and the girls slept in the other bedroom. We had two beds in each room. And then the living room, we never used it only the summer because it was too cold to eat. We lived just in the dining room and the kitchen. We had a real big dining room and a real big kitchen. So that was...
Was it a two-story?
No.
Nope, it's one story.
One story.
Any basement or anything?
No, we had a cellar right out around the corner of the house.
It's always good for tornadoes.
Yes, and we went there one time, too.
We did.
It was on, I believe it was Easter evening. Daddy said, we're going to the basement, to the cellar. And we all went, and my little brother, he did not want to go, and I grabbed him and I pulled him down there with us. But it, when we got it, came back up, it looked like somebody took a saw and sawed the top of a barn off, and it knocked several buildings down, but it did not blow out the light in the stove in the brooder house where we had little chickens. Isn't that strange how things would do?
Yeah. Well, tornadoes are strange.
Yes, they are.
That's a good story. Okay, what were your chores then? You've already told us you made cookies and things for your lunches.
Yeah.
Did you take care of the chickens? Or?
No, my one sister didn't. Gathered the eggs mostly and fed the chickens. But my main deal was to help my grandmother do the cooking.
And dishes?
And that. And my one sister, on Saturday, my one sister had to clean the bedrooms. And I baked and cleaned the dining room and kitchen. So that was...
So you didn't do any of the outside of the farm?
I didn't do... I milk cows, help them once in a while, but I hated that. I never did like that.
What about a garden?
Yeah, we had a real pretty good-sized garden. We had a big strawberry patch, and then we'd had radishes and carrots and
string beans. And did you weed the garden and that sort of thing?
Yeah, it was watered through the horse tank or the tank. And we had to, and Daddy put us up a barrel on the windmill, and we pumped it full in the summer, and that's where we'd take our showers. So that was quite a treat when we had.
Did your grandmother or you can from the garden?
She canned some, yes. And our kids would help, but then we wouldn't say we ever did the canning. But then, yeah, Daddy always went back to Elmwood and got sandhill plums, and then she'd make sandhill plum jelly. And he'd go to Hutchinson to the apple orchards and just and bring home a bunch of apples, and they would be kept down in the cellar. For our lunch buckets, we usually had a sandwich and an apple and probably a cookie. That was our lunch. And we rode the bus and had to be ready for it at 7 o'clock in the morning. And we'd get home about 5 o'clock at night.
So first on, last off or something?
We were about the middle. We were about the middle of the route when it started out.
How many kids were in your class at school or whatever?
I think there was 19 of us. Did you know Malloy Breitenbaugh?
I know Descendants.
We know Descendants. Yeah.
See, he was a graduate with me, and I see by the paper where he died just the other day. I don't know where there's very many of them left in my class.
I would hazard to say not.
They're getting very scarce.
If it'd be all right, what do you remember about your mother dying in the funeral and that time?
Well, I remember she died in Great Bend in St. Rose Hospital. And Daddy had us kids all up there that night. It was on a Friday. And what stuck in my mind was you could hear her breathing. She had real heavy, but we never did go in that where she was at. And to describe what my mother looked like, I could not describe it. As the years goes, it just, and we didn't have a lot of pictures like they do nowadays where you could, and the day of the funeral, I remember that. It was, we had a lot of rain, and we had a real long lane. And didn't think everybody was going to get through the big ruts in the road. And it
was
in Belpre.
She was in Belpre.
Uh-huh. And then my mother's brother, he wasn't married at that time. He came out and stayed all night with us the first night. I remember those little things, but that's just about the size of it. I went to school when my little brother was in at my aunt's there. She only lived a block from school. So at recess and at noon, we'd run over and see him, because we got permission to run over and see him a lot of the times. It was.
What do you remember about the Dust Bowl days?
to them.
He's going away. Do you want me to catch him?
No. I don't even know who it is. Probably a sweeper guy. But,
what do you remember about the Dust Bowl days?
Well, not too awful much about them. They were the Dust Bowl days, mostly that I remember, the ones we had out here in Syracuse, because we had really bad ones out here, but more so than the ones that I remember at home.
Remember having to put up sheets or
no,
clean
we didn't.
Out the house? Or
no, but here he would, when they would come in, my one little girl was just about, 2 years old. And when one of them came up, she come looked out the window, and she looked back at us because she couldn't see the neighbor's house. And she was just kind of puzzled that, you know, that the dust was so bad that it was. And then we were gone one time when one of them came up and a basement window blew open and we had a lot of dirt to scoop out. But then it's easier to scoop dirt than it is to have water, I would think. So,
do you remember anything about the Depression and affected your family or not?
Well, yes. My dad was, when I graduated in 37, and I wanted to go to college, I wanted to be a home economics teacher, but Daddy said, I just can't afford it. So I didn't go to college. I went to work at Posey's Cafe there in Belfry, and I cooked baked pies and till I met Paul, and then Paul and I were married in 41.
On the farm, you probably, because you had a farm, you probably never went hungry or...
Oh, no. When our chickens got up, we always had a chicken for dinner and a chicken for supper. So you had nothing to keep them cold with, so we just had one and kill another one for. We kept our milk and our cream in a big long trough that had pumped water through it to keep it cold. And
anything else about your that before you graduated from high school? Any other thing on that time period you'd just like to tell us? Or?
Well, my brothers used to love to play basketball, but I never did get to go watch them because my dad would take them, and I'd have to stay home with the little ones. Wow. So I never did get to see him play a lot of basketball. But I guess that's what comes when you're the oldest in the family.
How long did your grandmother stay with you?
She stayed with us till, she left before I graduated out of high school. I know that. I don't remember for sure just what year she did live. But she got married to her sister's husband, because her sister had died, and she lived in Ellingwood then. But that was.
Okay, let me see. I don't remember here. So, we got married in April. All right, well, tell us a little bit about, where did you meet Paul? Was he from?
He was from Zook.
Zook. Okay. Paul, that's only about what, 7-8 miles?
Our school buses met every morning, but I never knew him. We were on the county line, and our school buses met every morning. but I had never met him until after I graduated. And then...
How'd you meet him then?
He was working for the same man that I was for the restaurant that I was at, Posey's. And he was driving a gasoline transport. And that's where I met him. And then he went to driving, hauling Fords out of Kansas City. He had, of course, the big trucks nowadays have carry a lot more than they did. And we lived, right after we were married, we moved to, had an apartment in Emporia, because he was had to stay there. At,
tell us a little bit about your marriage, your wedding. Honeymoon or whatever.
Well, the next morning we got up, there was snow on the ground. And that was in April. We know that.
It was, April 19th.
Uh-huh.
And you got married in Stockton. Why didn't you get married at home?
Well, there's a lot of religious problems.
Oh. I'm trying to remember. The Scheiflers are Catholic?
Scheiflers were Catholics.
And
Paul
was.
He was. And there was a lot of.
Your dad didn't approve.
Well, dad, my dad wasn't a Catholic when he was married. He joined the church then. But daddy, daddy liked Paul real well. He got along with Paul real well, and he never. Never ever said anything to me about it, mm-hmm. So I couldn't.
So you drove up to Stockton and had a justice of the peace? Or?
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. Did you take any friends with you for
yes.
witnesses?
Yes, we had Kenny and Helen Smith. They were from, at that time, Kenny was, they run the elevator in Zook, I think, there. But my sister married a Smith, too, was brother to the guy that yeah. stood up with us. And
Why Stockton? Why not someplace closer?
Well, we just took off one Saturday evening
did
and
did
just started drone. No,
no,
nobody knew until we got home.
Reload.
Mm-hmm.
And then... Did you come back and tell them, or?
Yes, we did. We came back, and I told my dad, and he never ever said anything, and he was, unless he said something to the kids, he might have, but he never ever said anything to me about it, so.
And then when did you move to, you said you first lived in Emporia, is that where he was working at that time?
Or? That's when he was moving, that's when we moved there, and then we were lived there not very long, and that's when he was called up for the service.
And he was drafted.
Mm-hmm. In 42. We were only married just about a year.
Do you remember what you were doing on Pearl Harbor, December 7th, 1941?
No, I cannot say I really remember that. When you don't have TV and radios and stuff like they do nowadays, you don't remember a lot of the...
And you didn't have a radio then?
We had a radio, but we never listened to it very much. But my dad always watched Amos and Andy.
And listened to it.
Mm-hmm. So after his kids went to bed, Amos and Andy came on, and that's what he watched. So...
You lived in Larned while your husband was in the military?
I stayed with his folks.
Okay, that's what you just put.
They lived between Belfer and Larned on a farm.
So you lived in Emporia for a year? And then
Not quite a year.
And then he went in the service, and when he went in the service, you came back?
I stayed with his folks and worked in Larned.
And worked in Larned. And you worked at a
drugstore.
What was the name of it?
I can't think what the name of it was, but Vince Howdyshell owned it. It was on the east side of the road on Main Street there. And then when he came home from the service, he was in Brooklyn for about a year, and then Bill was born in Great Bend. And then Bill was 3 months old when he come out of the army. And there was no ground because he was probably being a farmer. And his dad went, him and his brother's note, and they came out here in Hamilton County, and we bought about six or eight quarters, and they broke it out, and then they ventured farther and went to Wiley, Colorado, and bought six or eight more, and that's where we moved.
And that was right after the war.
And we moved out here, and Bill was 3 months old. We moved out here in 45.
And you were breaking with us up.
They broke the sod out, him and his brother.
There weren't too many people out here then at that time.
Well, there was quite a bunch. But when we built our house here, we lived in a little old tiny house down there with four kids, and that was two little tiny bedrooms.
Hey, one bed. Your family did six in two tiny bedrooms.
I know. But it, when we built this house, we didn't have the baby, the Judy, yet. But she was 3 months old when we moved in this house.
So it was
1952. But we debated a long time when we built this house, whether to build it in town or in the country. And we sat down and figured and figured, and a lot of people lived in the country. But there was also a lot of rattlesnakes. You just wait with this Bill, this my son, he'll be calling.
Go ahead, answer. I can pause this.
Oh. And so we sat down and we figured that with five kids, or four kids at the time, it would be a lot cheaper and a lot better to build in town, because the kids would be in school and their activities and stuff. And he would only have to drive to the farm in the summertime. So that's what we did, and we never regretted it. And the water was hard to find out there and everything.
And you just had crops.
Yes, we had.
You didn't have livestock.
Oh, we had no livestock. But in the wintertime, they would have take people's cows in and let them graze the wheat down. But we never were in. We just had Milo, and we never had corn. Milo and the wheat is all we ever raised.
And it was dry land farming.
Uh-huh. And I even drove the truck and harvest. Heavens, couldn't do it nowadays.
Well, I don't know about that. What enabled you to be able to come out here and buy land? Did you have money from him getting a service?
No, Paul's dad went his air note. And, with that, while we could,
because that was pretty good to be able to have the land and then build a house within a few years, and then you had electricity and everything in your new house.
Oh yeah,
because we were in town.
Yeah, we had this. We lived in a little old tiny house on the west part of town, and when we moved up here, you could hear yourself echo. We didn't have any furniture hardly for quite a while. But we were never sorry that we did build.
That's a lovely home.
I'm the only one in this whole little neighborhood here. That was originally here. The whole rest of them have either sold or are gone.
Well, school isn't very far away, so that...
No, my kids walked.
Oh, nice.
But nowadays, they don't walk. They're taken every morning. I think that's so silly. My kids walk to school. And when we first moved here, there was, when you came from the swimming pool, mm-hmm. Well, the swimming pool didn't used to be there. It was down farther. But when they built it there, the kids were there. But there was a barbed wire fence across the road here. There was no road up north here yet. And the kids would climb over under that barbed wire fence, and it was always tearing their clothes. Till they finally got a road through there. But... my kids walk to school every morning, unless it was real cold or raining or something like that, then I'd go ahead and take them. But,
okay, let's go back to the World War II years. He was drafted, and I suppose he went to boot camp or something. Was he ever stationed in the United States where you would go and visit him? Or?
Well, I was never out of the state of Kansas till I was married. And then when I was married, I went from coast to coast.
Okay, tell us about that. Don't go through that.
He was stationed at Camp Roberts, and I went out.
Where's
that's
Camp
in California. And I went out there, and he was only in the service. Well, he went in April, and in October he was already headed for overseas. And then I came back here to...
Where did you live, or what was your life like in California when you were...
Well, I was with a whole bunch of Army wives. And my first bus ride, I went out with some people from Wichita that were real good friends of ours. And I had an aunt out there in Los Angeles, and I stayed with her. And
you
then
rode the bus?
I rode the Greyhound bus. To go to Camp Roberts, I believe.
Oh,
that
but to
was
get
the name.
To California, did you take the bus?
No, I rode out with some people from Wichita.
Okay, okay.
Me and a cat.
You and a cat. Your cat?
Nope, oh, not my cat. But the other, and that cat laid up on the back, and that was her place, and my place was over here, and we kept that all the way down. But when I rode the bus, and I'd never been any place like that, got on the bus and went to Camp Roberts. Well, Paul had an apartment in a little town from there, where a lot of, and there I got off the bus, and my name came over the loudspeaker. I was scared to death. And I went over there, and it was, Paul had left a note. He said, get on a certain bus and come to there, and I'll be over there. So I got my suitcase and I started, and some soldier came up to me and he said, you're not going over to, Paso Robles is the name of that little town. And I said, yes, because my husband's over there. He said, well, my wife's over there and I'm going home. Come on, I'll help you. So he picked up my suitcase and took me over there. I told Paul I was never so tickled to see him standing there. Because, you know, it's scary when you've never... Nowadays, kids... But I stayed out there until he was shipped overseas. And then I came back to my home there. And...
Now, did he ship out of California? Even though he went to Africa, right?
Uh-huh. That's where he left from.
So,
but, and I didn't hear from him from October till after Christmas. They never let mail get out then. And that was the longest time to not know where he was or what was going on or anything. But when I did get some letters, I got a whole bunch of them, so.
And you were writing him every day, or?
What?
You were writing him
Oh, yes, I wrote him every day. About every day. But he said he got my letters, but I never got any letters back from him yet. That was a long time.
So then you found out he was in Africa, or?
Yeah, then we found out where he was all at.
Then were your letters censored, or, you know?
I only had one letter that had something cut out, and I think it was probably where they were staying. That's the only thing I could figure out. But other than that, I don't think I ever had any more of them that were. I did have one that had some stuff come out of it, but that was it.
You didn't have any children during this time, so.
No.
And,
I stayed with a lady there in at Belfry when he first went overseas, and you maybe knew them. They were from Cimarron, though, but they moved to Cimarron. Art Charts is. The Schartzes, you've heard of Schartzes, I'm sure, because
yes,
there's a lot of them.
There's
a lot of them. Mm-hmm. But I stayed with her and kept her kids while she was having another baby, and I stayed with her kids and did that. So it.
And then you went up to his parents?
Mm-hmm. Then I went up and stayed with them.
And that worked out well?
Yep, worked out real well. His folks were, well, they weren't real young, but his dad loved to go to town, but he didn't like to drive. And if I didn't work that day, he'd say, "Are you going to town today?" And I would say, even if I wasn't going, I'd say, "Yes, I'm going to go to town." He said, "Could I ride along?" So he went along with me. He liked to go to town and just.
Let's start with Belfry, because we're interested in Edwards County, but what was the town of Belfry like during this time, and then we'll talk a little bit about Larned, too. I mean,
well, there was a lot of stores in Belfry at that time.
Like what?
Oh, there was two grocery stores, and the post office, and Bourne's Realty store, and there was a... Well, the grocery store had material and stuff like that in it. And they had the jail, and they had the telephone office. And
hardware?
Yeah, there was a hardware store. It wasn't very big, but then they were...
Did people go there on Saturday night? Like?
Yes. But we usually went to, when we were little, smaller, Daddy always went to Maxville. And we'd go there on Maxville, and they had a theater there, because Belfry didn't have a theater, and those kids would go to the show for a dime or a nickel.
Now, you had brothers also, but you had already left, but what was it like having, you had... Brothers, I guess they sort of went in one right after the other, spanning
yeah.
the whole World War II.
Well, this was real odd. When Paul went in the service, my brother was in the service, and Charles was.
He'd already gone in.
He was in the service, and Paul hadn't even gone. Well, he called and he told Daddy he wanted him to come down and see him because he was going to be shipped overseas. So Paul and I took my dad to Fort Hood, and we seen Charles and came back home, and Paul went in the service overseas and went on his way home before my brother was ever shipped overseas.
Oh, my word.
Now I said, now that was really something, because we took my dad back there to see him. And Paul went in the service and was gone for a little over 2 years and was on his way home before my brother was ever shipped overseas. I don't think that probably happened very many times.
No.
I don't know why. I don't know why it was that way either.
So you drove down to Fort Hood.
Uh-huh.
And spent a few days
with your brother. With my brother down there.
Now, did you write to your brother, like the same as your husband? Or?
I didn't write to them as often as I did the fall, but I did write them some.
And worried about them, I bet.
Oh, well, I think everybody does when they go into service. Yeah. Yeah, that was.
Did you see your father and your family much during that time when your husband was gone? Were you?
Oh yeah, I wasn't that far from him. I'd go there a lot. My dad and them moved to the place where the rest of the kids were at. About the time that Bill, my oldest one, was born in Great Bend. And then I went out there to see him quite a bit. But I didn't ever live in that house out there.
So you go like on Sundays or Saturdays or
Well, we were a family who always got together for Christmas, for holidays. We, as a rule, always got together. And now to this day, we have a family reunion every year, the first part of August. And we started with me and then go right on down the line. So you know when it's your turn to have it. Because last year we were out at Phoenix with my brother out there. And I think we had, I think there was 80 some there.
So this year it'll come back here?
No, this next year will be my sister that's died. Her family will host it. Because they said to me, since Mom's gone, can we still be in the family? And I said, you're always be in our family. She had three girls. And we told her, there's just no way you're going to get out of our family. So they have it next year.
Where do they live?
Well, two of them live at Abilene, and one of them lives there. They're right north of Fellsburg, and then their dad is in what is that big home there in Hutch? I know what.
I should know that.
I know what it is too.
You got Prairie in it?
No, it's
that's mean.
We know what it is.
We know what it is, right.
But he is in the home there. He has an apartment in there. Mm-hmm. And but they will have it next year. And then the following year my brother in Hutchinson will have it. And then the next year my sister in Ottawa will have it, or Williamsburg. And then and the next time it'll be my little brother Ed. But we always know.
That's a good way to do it.
Uh-huh. And we used to always have a covered dish. Mm-hmm. And I said, I live way out here. And I said, whenever you guys come to my house, don't bring anything. I'll just have it all. And I said, when I come to your house, I'm not bringing anything. Because it's such a chore to get something to take at all the time. So I think everybody does that same thing now. Because you only have it once every 6 years. So it's much easier to do it that way. And
okay, so then your husband, let's see, we'll go back together. Your husband came back, you said, to Brooklyn?
He was in Brooklyn, and he used to run convoys through the town of Brooklyn. He was a truck driver, and drove a tank. And
he drove a tank in the war, too. Mm-hmm. Maybe we should. Do you know anything about his service in Africa and Italy?
No.
Would he talk about it?
He never did too much talking about it.
But he drove a tank then, uh-huh. too. And then when he got back to Brooklyn, then he was driving his convoys.
He drove convoys through the town of Brooklyn. And he said, people just don't heed to them. But when they have all of them, they about got to. There's nothing. but he used to talk about their convoys through town.
Did you go to Brooklyn then?
I lived in Brooklyn about 2 months, but I had an apartment, but he didn't get to get in only on the weekends, and that was a long time to stay with not knowing anybody and everything, so I just stayed a couple of months and came home.
Did you notice any difference in him when he came back? Had the war changed him any?
Oh, only thing is I knew that he smoked too much.
Had he smoked before he went?
He smoked, but he didn't smoke like he did when he came home. So I told him, I said, you have to quit smoking like that. So he went to a pipe, and he smoked a pipe from then on. And now all the kids say, you never see a picture of Grandpa that he don't have a pipe in his house. So it, when he first came home, it took him a while to adjust. I know one night I woke up and he started beating on me, you know. And I woke up and I jumped up out of bed and I said, Paul, wake up. And he did, so he never would talk about it, though, but I think it was, you know.
He was having a nightmare.
Uh-huh. But it didn't, I mean, after a while, why he didn't have those anymore, I can see why they would. But I know I sure got out of there fast.
Then how about your brothers? Did you see any difference in any of them when they came?
No, because I was never around them very much. I guess when you're married and we moved out here, I just never was around them that much.
Well, when you moved to Syracuse, what was here? I mean, were there a lot of stores?
Oh, yeah, we had a lot of stores here. A lot of things have been. There's one whole block tore down out here now that, and we have there getting more things now. They're getting, they had quite a deal on our budget shop. That's where the churches all went together, you know, and had, they tore down a building down here, an old building, and this budget shop was in part of it. Well, they didn't know that the wall was combined with the two. Well, it caved in on the budget shop. Well, luckily nobody was there at the time. But they had to destroy all of this stuff. So the budget shop is now just about ready to start over again. And it'll be downtown, down over here by the grocery store across the street. And it'll be a lot nicer for them, I think. But it went along pretty smooth, I think. Nearly all the churches were in with it, and they all took the turns they're waiting on. But,
when your husband came home from the service, he came back and was in Brooklyn, then he came home. Do you remember, maybe just back in Larned or Belfry, do you remember any celebrations or anything, or did the men just come home? And
well, the only time a lot of family affairs would have a celebration for them. They never had, I never knew of any of a big celebration like they do nowadays when a soldier comes home. A lot of them have a big thing. But nor it was more just family related.
Now, you said you didn't remember Pearl Harbor too much. Do you remember VE Day or VJ Day, the victory over Europe or victory over Japan when they...
Yes, I remember that. Paul had two cousins go down with that on Pearl Harbor.
He had two in Pearl Harbor.
And he lost two cousins. They were from Hugoton, I think. Mm-hmm. Their name was Kay Grice. It used to be from around Hutchins, and there was Kay Grice's in Hutchins.
You need that spelled? How do you spell that?
K-A-G-A-R-I-C-E.
Just
sort of like it. Yeah, just like it.
And then when the war was over, you remember getting that news when they Germany surrendered or Japan surrendered?
Yes, we remember. We had a lot of radios and that by that time. I mean, we were in TVs, but then we had
Did people celebrate in any way or just happy?
I think almost everybody was just happy, and they were just thankful and that their sons and that were over there were going to get to come home. So, but Paul was on the water on his way home when the war ended. But then he had to stay in, and he stayed in service in Brooklyn for I think a little over a year before he got to come on home. He came home on his mother's birthday. She was so tickled when he got to come home on her birthday. He came home in September.
You were probably tickled too.
Well, yeah, because that's kind of a wishy-washy life until he come home. Just didn't know. Oh well, I stayed there to his folks, but it just.
What did you do as a young married woman? Did you go out with the other women whose husbands were away, or how'd you entertain yourself while your husband was gone all that time?
Well, no, I usually didn't go out with very many. I don't know, it just seemed like you did this.
Went to work and took your father-in-law to town, huh?
Yeah, that's about it. And, it, you know, by the time you get your washing done and your days were over. Oh, we go to the show once in a while because they did have a nice theater there in Larned.
And now, some of your husband's pay came home to you, right, during the war?
Yep. And I remember we had sugar rationing. Mm-hmm. And they also had coffee rationing.
Oh, coffee.
Uh-huh. Coffee was rationed there for a little while. And when we first came out here, we could not buy a refrigerator. There was no refrigerator. You could not buy a refrigerator. So we took one of his folks, had one of those refrigerator that had that big old round thing on top. We took that off and we fixed a thing over the top and we put ice up there to keep the.
So you made an ice box.
We made our ice box, uh-huh. And that first year that we had a crop out here, I had two kids, Bill and Carol. Carol was in a baby basket, and Bill was up walking. And I took dinner south of town, because they were farming south of town. I took dinner out to the field south of town, then I come home and pick it up and take it north of town. Now I think, how in the world did I ever do that? Fix dinner for, I think I had five or six men on both places, you know, and take dinner out there.
You hired harvest crews?
No, they did their own cutting.
It was all...
Mm-hmm. Well, they had their own stuff, but they hired men to help. Uh-huh, yeah. So it...
Were there a lot of men that had come home from the service out here at that time that were starting up farms? Or
well,
were you unusual?
I didn't know anybody about here, but Paul met one man that run a cafe down here, and he was come to find out he was in the same division that Paul was in, so they used to have, and then he met another one. There was two of them here, And they, he had quite a conversation with them several times. But that was very odd that they didn't know one another then, because they lived here and he lived back there until we moved out here. So it's...
The community of Syracuse, was it just mainly young people? Were they all Caucasian, or was there a Hispanic population?
We had one colored family here, and they were Methodists, and she was a wonderful organist, and she played there. That's the only one I knew of that was here at the time, and I don't think there was hardly any. But now we're loaded with but not colored people. We don't have very many of them.
What about Belfry and the Hispanic community?
We never had any in Belfry. We had, what was their names? They were such a nice family that run the depot. Gillen, I think, was their name in Belfry. They lived in a house. I don't think the house is even there anymore. But their kids went to school there.
They were Hispanic, or?
Okay. They were Mexicans, the Mexicans. And they were a real, really nice family. But that's the only one we never ever...
No blacks in there.
Mm-mm. And I, you know, we always said the blacks, we always call them the blacks or negative.
Colored people.
And the kid said, "Mom, don't say that. They don't like that anymore." And I said, "Well, when you've never been around them." And one time I said something about, you know, those nuts we call nigger toes. Kid said, "Mother, don't say that." And I said, "When you're born and raised on a nigger toe, that's going to be it the rest of your life. It's hard to change those things." But
you said that, you know, was there any prejudice against the Catholics? Because you mentioned with your wedding or your marriage there was some.
I never ever noticed anything.
Was it down to Hopewell?
Yes, Hopewell. Now see, I was too little to know much about it, but we hear more things about it. That Truesdale and Hopewell vicinity did not like the Catholics, and my folks were Catholics, so but us kids didn't realize what
we're sort of asking women, did you see any changes that happened to women because from before the war and after the war that brought about by the war? Or was your life pretty much the same?
My life was the same, but I wouldn't say anything about anybody, because it was their life, not mine. But I would not have done a lot of things a lot of the women did. But there was a lot of difference in the, I guess it's the person. But I never run with the ones that I was friends with them, but I wouldn't chum them or anything. But I just wouldn't. I just didn't agree with a lot of things.
They were doing things maybe their husbands didn't approve of if they'd been home.
Well, I would think they would be. That's what my opinion was when they were. But that's why I thought no. I never would want to. I wouldn't do things that they were doing, so I guess it's according to the person.
Did you have friends that went away to work in war plants? You know, like we talked about Ona Cross, but did you have any friends that did that?
No, not there. Paul's brother worked at Boeing, but no, most of my friends were not, didn't...
You said that you traveled, and you wouldn't have done that if your husband wasn't in the service, probably.
Well, he was with me, though.
Yeah, but I mean, you did travel. That changed your life.
That changed my life.
You
I said I was never out of the state of Kansas till after I was married. And then I made up for it.
Oh, you've traveled a lot?
I traveled. And then when Paul and I used to do a lot of traveling, we... Yeah, when Paul kind of retired and then in the winter, we did a lot of traveling. And I always enjoyed that. And
did he go back overseas?
No. Finally, I wanted to go on a cruise once. And I couldn't help to get him to go. He said, no, I've rowed a ship enough times, I don't want it. And so... the girls out in Arizona were gone, and I said, wouldn't you just go once? He said, yeah, I'll go with you once. So we went once, and we went to we flew to Miami and
Jamaica
went back
and Caribbean
and Jamaica and all that, and we had a room in the back of the ship where we could see the wheel go, you know, look out the little cubbyhole window there. And I really enjoyed it. And, of course, Paul wouldn't own up to that he did enjoy it. But after we got home, he said, well, it wasn't too bad. It was a lot different than what the ones I had before. So that...
can you think of any ways... going to have to use your imagination probably for Belfry or Larned or here. How World War II changed Western Kansas? Were there any good things or bad things that you think came as a result of World War II?
No, I don't think the war caused a lot of our troubles.
Troubles being?
Yeah, like your break-ins and your stealings and I don't think that was involved in anything like that.
How about the population decline?
Well, out here we grew and then we went back again. So,
what was the cause of?
I don't know what the cause of it was. I never could. It was just, I guess, the people that we knew, their kids were growing, and they were leaving, and that's what I think. That's what makes a lot of. But with me, I would just soon stay put where I've been all my life. Paul and I lacked a little bit of being married 65 years, so that was almost a lifetime with one person.
Well,
so it.
We're very blessed.
The kids wanted me to go to the rest home, and I said, no, but stay here as long as I can. As long as I can take care of myself, I'm going to stay right here. Mm-hmm. It's a big place, I know. But I just don't want to go. And Paul didn't want to go. He begged me not to send him to a rest home. And I said, I'm not putting you in a rest home. I'm taking care of you. Yeah, but he said, I don't want you to have to take care of me. And I said, don't worry about that. I said, I've just taken care of people all my life. That it's not going to bother me.
You started at 9 years old, didn't you?
Yes. I said, I was had daughter had twins, and she had trouble with them. And I kept them for a while, and I said, I've just had different things all my life. I said, that doesn't bother me. But let somebody, a doctor or somebody, take blood out of me and show me that little vial, and I just keel over. I said, if you take it, don't show it to me. So
I'm the same way.
I just
take care of your child who's bleeding, but don't.
I don't. But I never will forget that. I just nearly passed out that one time. Oh, they showed me that vial of blood. Oh, I said, I don't want to see that.
That's a question we've never asked any of the women. You were having children right after World War I, How have things changed in having children? Did you go to the hospital for all yours?
Yes. I had Bill and Great Ben, and my others are all here.
And how long did you, what was the word?
About a week. I was staying about a week. Mm-hmm. But if everybody had kids like I did.
Now, who would come and take care of your younger ones when you were having?
Paul usually stayed with them. Cause,
he did.
The kids would... I was in the hospital one time, and the kid said, Mom, I'll sure be glad when you get home. Daddy sure can't make gravy.
Yeah.
It's so lumpy all the time. So it,
so you did a good job choosing your husband, didn't you?
Yes, I did.
Didn't need an elaborate wedding, just...
I said, people always said, I had heard them say, well, that marriage won't last. I said, I'd like to see those people and tell them just how long it did last. They were wrong. But that is.
Okay, you came out here and started farming. Were there farm equipment stores here so you could buy tractors?
We had a John Deere.
But
Paul, since he was in the service, remember they used to have in someplace back by Chicago, I don't remember what the name, where they had machinery and stuff, and the veterans were could buy it. So Paul went back there and bought a tractor back there one time.
So that was one of the...
That he got something like that.
Mm-hmm. You're the first person who's told us that.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
Then there were farm implement stores here.
There was a John Deere. We have they used to have a Case here too, but the John Deere store is still here. But that's what Paul went to was John Deere's, because that's where you could get service instead of have to. But they did have a Case place here one time, but they had done it.
Somebody else had told us that they took some agricultural classes through the GI Bill. Did your husband do anything like that? You know, they didn't go to college, but they offered some.
Yeah, he took through the college at Garden a welding class. He took a welding class. The teacher that they had here had a class, and they were, so he said, well, I didn't go to college, but I did get a college credit from the welding class.
Did he do that as a result of the GI Bill, or did he just take that?
I think he just took that, because they just, they offered it here, and he just, because he wasn't, learn how to weld, because they used a lot of welding from different things. But he had, and he was mayor here of the town once, and he was on a school board. I don't think he's ever going to get off the school board. And he was VFW commander here for a while. And he was on the ASC board. He was always on something, but he enjoyed it, so that was...
Did he ever get together with his unit, you know, like the men are doing?
No,
that?
He never did.
And how about you? What did you do here? Besides raise children.
Well, that's about it, I think. Oh, and I was room mother. I was room mother from the time my kids started to school till they got it out of the eighth grade. And lo and behold, with the last one that was in the eighth grade, they decided to have a room mother because they were going to have a carnival. And guess who got on the... I did, me and another lady. We got on it every time, I think. You'd think we're the only ones that ever had children in school.
Now, did your children go to college?
Bill went a couple of years. Carol graduated. She went to KU, and she married a guy from there. He was from Hutchinson that she met. And he went to the service of the Navy, so she transferred to Hayes, and she finished her teacher's degree in Hayes. Mary Jo went to KU, and she's a medical technician. And Patsy just went to beauty school, and then she took something else. I forget what the name of it was, but it's where they draw
graphics.
That's it.
Graphic arts.
And Judy went to a junior college for a little while. But
so you didn't get to go to college, but your daughters did.
Mm-hmm. When I graduated, my dad said, "I know I can't help you go to college, and I know you want to go." And I said, "Well, that don't make any difference. I'll make something else in my life." So her brothers, I wonder, are they as smart as they try to give them? They might be in certain things, but...